Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Good to see everybody out this morning. We're going to be moving on in the catechism this morning. Our next two questions have to do with the humiliation of Christ and his exaltation. These are two questions, but I am burdened by studying this that I need to park here for a little while and spend quite some time speaking of the cross, the single most significant point in time for all of humanity, the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. We sang three hymns this morning specifically about that cross. Our question this morning is, wherein did Christ's humiliation consist? Answer is, Christ's humiliation consisted in him being born, and that in a low condition, made under the law, undergoing the miseries of this life, the wrath of God, and the cursed death of the cross, and being buried and continuing under the power of death for a time. This cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, I would like you to remember John 3:16 as we go through this in the next probably month or two on these two questions. For God so loved the world that he gave. The whole point of all of this is that he gave. He gave it all. He gave the greatest treasure of heaven to redeem us from our sins. Let's ask God's help before we get started. Dear Lord, we do praise you and we do give you thanks, Father, for the cross of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that in that scripture in John 3:16, it says that whosoever shall believe. And I thank you, Lord, that you've given grace to those whosoevers and given us the ability to believe. And that belief, Lord, that we are secure in what you did on your cross. Father, we pray that you'd open our understanding to this morning. In Jesus' name we do pray and ask it. Amen. If you would, turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 2 this morning. And in the answer of this question, it talks about then that in a low condition. We're just going to park right there this morning, speaking about this low condition that Christ came into. Luke chapter 2 talks about his birth. He was born a commoner. In some of the lowest circumstances that you could think of. Verse 7 in Luke 2, it says, speaking of Mary, and she brought forth her first son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in an inn. A manger was basically a feeding trough for the animals. The King of glory that stepped down from heaven, that walked away from the glory that he had with the Father in the beginning that we know of in John 17 that he spoke of. He allowed himself to be laid in a feeding trough. Philippians 2:7 says that, but he made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. God came down and lowered himself to be a man. Matthew 8:20 says, and Jesus said unto them, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Our Lord didn't even have a home, didn't even have a bed. Our brother Jimmy preached in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 here recently about how though he was rich, he became poor so that we might be rich. He abandoned himself of everything for the benefit of whosoever would believe. If you would, turn to Isaiah 53, and we'll see the greatest prophecy of this suffering servant. Just one verse here. Isaiah 53, verse 2. And it says, "For he shall grow up before him," speaking of Christ, "as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground." And this is the part of the scripture, part B here. "He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." Not only did he come in the form of a lowly man, but he came in the form of a common man, a carpenter's son. He was not an attractive man. He was just basic. He didn't draw any attention to himself. He just came, born under the law, as we'll learn in the next part of this, to redeem those who were under the law. Turn back to Luke chapter 2. We'll look further down in this chapter. Look at verses 11 and 12. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." Again, poverty. He became poor. Look in Luke chapter 2 as well, verses 48 and 50 through 52. "And he had stayed back after the festival, and Joseph and Mary basically lost Jesus. So they were coming back, and they found him here. And it says, "And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wish ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understand not the saying which he had spoke unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth," and notice right here, "and was subject unto him," unto them. "But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in the favor of God." Now we know from John chapter 1 that in the beginning, before the foundations of the world, was this word that became flesh. When we know that all things were created by him, so we know he created Mary, he created Joseph, and he made himself subject unto his creation. Hebrews chapter 2, if you would turn there. Verse 9 says, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man." It was the purpose that he came. He came in such a lowly state, born under the law, to redeem them under the law. Hebrews chapter 5. While we're in the book of Hebrews, we can see here how he was obedient. Okay, verses 7 through 9. "Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Luke chapter 22 verse 42 says, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. That's what this passage of scripture in Hebrews chapter 5 is talking about. I've often pondered, why did Jesus struggle so much, knowing that from the foundation of the world, because the scripture teaches that he was slain from the foundation of the world. Why did he have such trouble in that garden with that cup? Because he was going through the fears that we had. He was accomplishing and conquering everything. We're not saved not only by his death, but the scripture teaches us that we are saved by his life as well. Philippians chapter 2. And not only what Christ did in this example that he walked on this earth and accomplished all these things and made himself of no reputation, not only to buy us, but it was also an example for us to walk in this. Look at verse 4 in Philippians chapter 2. It says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, on things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Notice in verse 5 here he says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Then it gives the example how he humbled himself. We started off in verse 4. It says, think not only on your own things, but of the things of others. Christ gave us an example, especially within the realm of his church, that we are to lay down our lives for one for another. When you see a brother or sister struggling, going through a hardship in their life, you should pour your bowels of mercy out toward them. The scripture teaches us to bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And let us end this morning in Psalm chapter 22. Psalm 23, a very, very popular and known psalm. Psalm chapter 22, though, the one before, I personally believe to be the prayer that Christ prayed when he was on the cross. And it says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not. And in the night season, and I am not silent. You'll notice as going through this psalm, there was no answer for him. He took upon the wrath of God and the punishment for us. He became poor. He was rejected by the Father to where we could be accepted. Verse 4 says, our fathers trusted in thee, and trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee, and were delivered. They trusted in thee, and were not confounded. But I am a worm, and no man. In other words, lower than a man. Mm-hmm. A reproach of men and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, "He trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him." He was mocked on the cross by the passers-by by saying these very words. Verse 9, "But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breasts. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me, strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaw. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death." Surely our Lord did drink that cup. And who did he drink that cup for? Remember John 3:16. Whosoever would believe. The believing ones. The ones that he gave grace to believe that he would be the propitiation for their sin. And he would take the full wrath of God to buy them back. Verse 16, "For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierce my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They parted my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture." Verse 19, "But be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength. Haste there to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. I will declare thy name unto my brethren, and in the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye seed of Jacob, glorify him and fear him. All ye the seed of Israel, for he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither had he hid his face from him. But when he cried unto him, he heard." Have you ever gone through a real tough spot in life? And you've prayed and prayed earnestly, and you feel like there's no answer for you? It seems that God has withdrawn himself from you. I pray you never believe that again. For our Lord Jesus Christ was separated from the Father to where you would never have to be. Trust this Christ. Trust this cross that he hung on. As we sang this morning, in the cross, be my glory ever. Amen. Father, we do thank you for this morning, Lord. We do thank you for the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. I pray, Father, that you would give us a greater revelation of your cross, Father. Lord, we do pray for the rest of this service this morning, Lord, the time with the children, our Sunday service coming up this morning, Lord. I do lift up those who are sick among us, Father. My dad in the hospital right now, Lord. I do pray that you would be gracious to him, Father, and lift him up and bring him back to us. Help us this day. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.